Hi, this is Adam Liao from Destination Flavor, and you're listening to SBS Radio.
SBS en français. Partagez nos rubriques sur Facebook.
A great pleasure today to speak to Adam Liao, one of the most familiar face on SBS and SBS Food. Hi, Adam.
Hi.
Glad to have you back again on SBS Radio. We spoke a while ago about the first edition of your Destination Flavor. And this time, there's a new edition of Destination Flavor starting tonight, the 31st of March on SBS. And you're going to Scandinavia.
Fourth season, if you can believe it.
Fourth season. And this time it's Scandinavia.
Yes. The center of the food world right now, I think.
It seems very trendy, Scandinavia. That's for sure.
Very trendy and very very interesting, I think, academically interesting, because Scandinavia has a really big influence on the way we live life in Australia, but we may not even realize it. You know, the amount of music that we listen to written by Scandinavian writers, or the furniture that we buy from places like IKEA, or even the more high-end design.
And the series we watched on TV, you know, with Borgen and The Bridge and
yes,
so on.
Yes. If you're a SBS viewer, you can't help but get caught up in the Scandinavian wave that's taking over literature and television and everything from action shows like Vikings to the political dramas like Borgen. They're fascinating.
Absolutely. Surely the flavor drones you there, though, more than the TV series and the books.
Yes. But, I mean, it's all together, you know. I mean, I'm obviously very much focused on the food, but in Destination Flavor, we always try to use the food as a vehicle to tell the bigger story. You know, I guess in the same way with France, the food is the food, but what the food also tells you is a lot about French culture, I think. And it's the same way with Scandinavia and Scandinavian food and the link with the culture.
So delight us. There's much more to Scandinavian food than the Swedish meatballs. A lot more.
But I don't knock the meatballs, though. I enjoy them. And
I do.
I learned some new ways to make them when I was over there. But the thing that really inspired us to go over there was this new Nordic cuisine and working out what that is. And it was, obviously, there is that influence in high-end restaurants, but there's another aspect in new Nordic cuisine that doesn't really get as much of the press, because it's a little bit more difficult to understand. You know, you can't put a price tag on it. It's this idea, and we met, most people may have heard of a restaurant called Noma. It was the number one restaurant of the world and the San Pellegrino list for, I think, 3 years in a row, and then off and then back on again. And a very influential restaurant and the start of this new Nordic food movement. We met with Klaus Meyer, who, along with René Redzepi, started the restaurant. And the way that he describes New Nordic is using food as an instrument to improve life. And to me, that is a fascinating concept. But we get to see it. You know, I meet with Klaus Meyer, but we don't go to a fancy restaurant to experience it. We meet and then we go to a prison where he's teaching, and then I end up teaching the inmates how to cook as part of their rehabilitation. And we talk about sustainable eating practices and sustainable farming practices. And there's a very interesting, I guess, social element to new Nordic food.
And there's also a very strong link in the techniques with higher-end type of food, which you think straight away, like French food, of course, but also Japanese techniques. We can link them.
It's very, very interesting. You know, but the first time we went to Scandinavia, my wife is Japanese. Her comment on Scandinavia, she'd never been there before, hadn't really thought about Scandinavia before. She just said, this is like European Japan. And I know France and Japan have a very strong cultural connection. And I think you can see the same between Scandinavia and Japan as well, actually.
Yeah, and was that a surprise for you?
It was a big surprise in terms of the social conscious, in terms of the approach to food, the simplicity of a lot of Scandinavian food. It's very simple, in the same way that Japanese food is very simple. So it was very surprising to me, but I got it immediately. As soon as she said it, you know, other than the fact that everyone was about a foot taller and had white faces, it was a bit like walking around a Japanese city.
Yeah, I've been to a couple of places in Scandinavia, including Copenhagen, and it's one of my favorite cities. It's beautiful.
Yes, it's great, isn't it? It actually, you know, in the series, tonight's episode is it's my first time in Copenhagen, but it felt a lot like home. And it felt a lot like home because it was kind of like a bit of Australia and a bit of Japan together, which is so strange because there's very little actual physical connection between those places. But it just felt like Adelaide and it felt like Tokyo at the same time.
In terms of the chefs you met, you mentioned a few names, but do you really see that new Nordic? I mean, you mentioned that new Nordic compared to the old Viking food, they've gone a long way. Absolutely a long way.
Definitely. But if you look at the history of it as well, and we do, I go and fight a Viking in later episodes, a guy who's really into his Viking culture. But a lot of the new Nordic cuisine is very similar to the old Viking style of eating. We think of Vikings as being, you know, big meat eaters and hunting and all of that kind of thing. But the main food for the Vikings was nettle porridge, you know, porridge made from oats or grains of some kind or barley and with nettles in it for flavouring. So it was this almost semi-vegetarian, very ecological existence that the Vikings had. So in many ways, the new Nordic is far more similar to the old Nordic than the dishes that we might know, like the meatballs or the smørbrød and that kind of thing.
There's one important point as well. When you make the link, people go, "Ah, yeah, of course." But the Danish pastries, they are Nordic. Of course, they are.
Yes.
How good are they over there?
They are fantastic, and you know we call them Danish pastries, and in Denmark they call it Wienerbrød, so Vienna bread from Austria. So they kind of pass the credit around a little bit, which is a very Danish thing to do. But they are fantastic. I don't want to start a discussion about which is better between a French patisserie and a Danish bakery, but I've enjoyed my time in both equally well.
You know, yeah, a pastry is good anywhere, you know.
<It's> Yes.
Pastry is pastry. What can we expect more from you? I mean, you've got this series. There's a couple of books that have been out as well. What are you working on now?
Well, I've just finished shooting my fifth cookbook. It's a Japanese cookbook this time. So I'm sort of bouncing all over the place at the moment. So we've got a Scandinavian series that I've just written, a Japanese cookbook that'll be out for Christmas. And we're about to start talking about where we're going to send a destination flavor next. So hopefully somewhere interesting.
Do you know there's a million people that want your job?
Probably a lot more than that. And some days, you know, when I'm working until 3 a.m. and have to be up at 5 a.m. like I was last night, I kind of think, well, they can have my job. But, you know, it's a fantastic lifestyle. And I work very hard, but I enjoy it as well.
Absolutely. And that sounds, and you can see this on TV. And it will be tonight, Destination Flavor with Adam Leo. It was a pleasure talking to you, Adam, again.
Thanks for yourself.
SBS Food a tous les ingrédients pour votre prochain repas. Vous y trouverez des milliers de recettes issues des cuisines du monde. Essayez les petits plats des experts de SBS Food et regardez comment ils les réalisent pas à pas. sbs.com.au/food